The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone. It's another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Zach Zaidman joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. We are moments away from also talking with 85 Bear Tom Thayer. A lot going on this week, Jim. And I guess the latest is that the Bears signed the backup quarterback Mark Sanchez. So they've now signed 11 free agents that were with other teams a year ago. And there's a lot of confusion, I think, with the fan base because they're not quite sure what the Bears are trying to accomplish. But, Jim, you've been through this. You understand what the plan is. Help us understand what the Bears are trying to do here as we approach the draft.
Yeah, well, I do think the Bears have been one of the more active teams in free agency. Certainly New England. I think Jacksonville is another team. How about San Francisco? But the Bears are right there with the guys that they've signed. You know, you bring in a couple wide receivers, a couple of defensive players as well. You know, I'm not going to go through all the names like Marcus Wheaton and Kendall Wright would be the receivers. Prince Amukamara, you bring in another veteran like Quinton Demps to shore up the safety and corner positions there. Deion Sims, we talked about tight ends, a position that needs to be addressed for the Bears. There's a good all-around tight end that I think has got some upside to him. And then people, and it was funny because I tweeted it out a couple days ago, that when I knew that the Bears were bringing in Mark Sanchez, I said, you know, that to bring him in makes a lot of sense. Mark Sanchez is a run play action quarterback. That's what he was at USC and gets drafted in the first round by the Jets. He took the Jets to the AFC Championship game, and granted, it was ground and pound, right? So it's run play action, moves on to Philadelphia, gets some playing time there. So he comes with a lot of snaps and a lot of experience, gets traded away to Denver. They were letting him battle it out with the young quarterbacks there and then moves on to back up in Dallas. So I just think from a standpoint of a fit in the offense and the experience and stuff of the guys they've had on defense, I think the Bears have been active to address all their needs. And certainly can't forget Mike Glennon, because I still don't think it takes the Bears out of the opportunity to draft a young quarterback in the draft, because realistically Glennon's contract could become a one-year deal. Then you got Sanchez backing him up, and we know all the quarterbacks coming out, or pretty much all of them, I should say, other than I think Nate Peterman is a guy out of Pitt who comes with a lot of snaps underneath the center and could do some certain things. So quarterback I don't think is still out of the mix for the Bears in the draft, but I think they've been pretty active and smart with their signings.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can join us throughout the hour and get the expertise of Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, who joins us now here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. And Tom, we started the show talking about the offseason plan for the Bears, because I think people have gone a little overboard here in regards to the signing of Mark Sanchez. Just the feedback that you get via Twitter or listening to the radio station. And I think that people believe that this is going to prevent the Bears from taking a quarterback in the draft. And I just think that what it does is it gives you flexibility heading into the draft.
Right. I disagree with the fact that it's going to the Bears aren't going to take a quarterback in the draft. I think they still will. You know, I kind of was thinking, say Mike Glennon works out, say Connor Shaw comes in and plays solid football as he did in last year's training camp. Then you have a guy that you draft and comes in as in development stages. Just think, if Mark Sanchez had a solid training camp, where all of a sudden you increased his value for maybe even another team, maybe you increased his value enough where he became a tradable commodity at the end of training camp. Because, you know, Mark Sanchez has experience, and Jim mentioned that he is a guy that if he has a solid running game, and I think that's where his most effectiveness at the quarterback position is. Hey, I don't hate it, because you need four quarterbacks going into OTAs for training camp, for all the different drills and everything they do. You got a guy that has a lot of experience, both coaching experience, playing experience, around different scenarios in terms of a rookie quarterback with an experienced injured quarterback in Dallas, the other situations in Denver. So It's not something that I disagree with. I'm more interested to see if maybe you can increase his value throughout training camp, where if another team has a significant injury at quarterback, maybe you increase his value and have an opportunity to deal him to another team.
And keep in mind, guys, I think it's important to note that a year ago, Denver brought him in. Very similar situation to here.
They traded for him.
Right. And they thought that he would potentially be the starter, but Trevor Siemian actually outplayed him during the offseason. He ended up getting the starting job, and they let him go. So there's no guarantee that he makes the team. For example, if Connor Shaw outplays him, if the Bears go out and draft a quarterback like we think they will, I just think you have to let it play out. This is very early on in the offseason, and you have to let them hit the field. What happens, for example, Jim, if Mike Glennon should get hurt at any point during the offseason workouts? I'm not talking about a season-ending injury, but you need somebody to throw the ball that has a little bit of experience throughout the offseason workouts heading into training camp. It doesn't hurt to take a flyer on a guy like this.
Yeah, well, there's no question. I mean, very rarely does it happen. Like last year, what happened to Dallas Cowboys fans? Just go back 2 years ago. They lose Romo. Their season was over. I mean, they lose him again last year, and Dak Prescott comes in as the miracle worker there. And I'm with you. If Glennon were to go down week one, you know, say the first quarter, what happens then? You just, is everybody just going to throw their hands up in the air and say the season's over? No, at least you've got a guy who's got experience, and can he hold you down for four games? Mark Sanchez has done that. He did it in Philadelphia when Nick Foles went down. So, you know, and the things what happened in Denver, here Denver trades for him last year. They're battling out in cap, as you mentioned. They already draft another quarterback in the first round in Paxton Lynch. And if all things were equal, they knew they had a good defense, all things are equal, you're going to go with the younger quarterback. And they felt Trevor Siemian was ready. And lo and behold, Dallas picked up Mark Sanchez right away. No ruffled feathers. He's good in the quarterback room to bring along a young quarterback, and didn't ruffle any feathers with Dak Prescott. And that's a good security blanket to have on a football team. And I'm with you guys. I think you let him and Connor Shaw battle it out. You still draft a quarterback, and then you make a decision at the end of training camp, or like what Tom mentioned, maybe another quarterback goes down for another team where Mark Sanchez or Connor Shaw become a commodity that could be traded at that point.
You know, Jim, you talk about the importance of learning the terminology from being out there in OTAs, because when you think about the scenario that Matt Barkley went through last year, he had to sit there and cram in the quarterback room, and then he had to go on the field and play, and everybody was questioning his knowledge of just being able to communicate the system. When you bring Mark Sanchez in here now, you have the tablet in front of him, you have the terminology that he's listening to from day one of OTAs. How helpful is that for, you know, probably the most important terminology position on the field at quarterback?
We'll get Jim's response coming up, because we've got to take the break, guys. I mean, we do have commercials to pay the bills.
Oh, no.
So we'll get Jim's answer to that question coming up. Plus, a lot of pro days this week with players that the Bears are definitely looking at. So we'll break that down coming up next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Receive the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. We'll get to the pro day stuff, because the Bears sent a number of different personnel across the country to watch some of the best prospects in the country, and we'll get Jim's breakdown on that in just a bit. But before the break, Tom talked about how it's important during this stage of the offseason, Jim, for quarterbacks to understand the language, the terminology, so everything goes easy in terms of being able to spit things out when you get behind center. And Matt Barkley had to go through that late and catch up, and you know he was forced into action late in the year. It's not easy to do, and I think anytime you bring in a veteran quarterback at this stage of the game, it makes life a little bit easier for your football team.
Yeah, but I think at some point, you know, and I'll compare that. Well, I don't want to compare it, but say the Dallas Cowboys and what they're trying to do with Tony Romo. And Tom brings up a good point, because if I'm the Houston Texans, at some point prior to the draft, something's going to happen, a trade between Houston and Dallas, and here's why. And Tom mentioned it. You want Tony Romo in that building as early as you can, Why? Granted, maybe the reasons are different than what the Bears are dealing with, but they're somewhat similar, right? Houston's sitting there with a big, bad defense, right? And if they get Tony Romo injected into that team and get him to know his teammates and work with his teammates and DeAndre Hopkins and the players that they have down there, Bill O'Brien wants that to happen as soon as possible. And that's why the draft is kind of, to me, the leverage point for Tony Romo. Because after that, what do we know? There's going to be the mini camps and the OTAs and all that stuff's ongoing at that point. So you want Tony Romo there, and it's the same for the Bears. You know, for all these new players that we just mentioned on offense, you got Kendall Wright trying to learn the offense. You got Marcus Wheaton trying to learn the offense. You got Deion Sims, who's a new player, trying to learn the offense. And like you said, for Mike Glennon and a guy like Mark Sanchez, they're new as well. So you got to get all these pieces together, working and up to speed as fast as possible. And that's not easy to do. The Bears have made a lot of moves the past couple years. And this one's a big one now, as they've made the decision at quarterback with not only Glennon, but Mark Sanchez. But the point is, even last year, what Denver did to trade for Sanchez, right? The number from John Elway's head was, I'm not paying more than $7 million, right? He tried to get the deal with Colin Kaepernick. He didn't want to take the pay cut. And so then John Elway said, oh, Philadelphia just signed Chase Daniel, Mark Sanchez. We'll trade for you right now to come here to Denver, help these young quarterbacks get caught up to speed, and Trevor Siemian. And then when you look at Paxton Lynch that I mentioned, at the end of camp, all things were equal. They had the defense that they thought was up to snuff, and they thought they could manage the two young quarterbacks. And then right away, he gets signed by the Dallas Cowboys for the same reason. So I think it's critical for all the things that Tom mentioned. And for the Bears, they got a lot of players that they've got to get caught up to speed, specifically none bigger than two quarterbacks that need to learn a system very quickly.
Tom, I think when people look at free agency, they think that if you don't get the first-tier free agents, it's a complete failure. So now people are wondering, what's the Bears' offseason plan? And I think it's unfair to say it before the draft, because I think the draft plays a huge role in how you judge your offseason. But can you explain what the Bears have tried to do with free agency up to this point?
You know, get competitive depth. And whether you look at a guy like Marcus Cooper at, you know, a 6'1", 190-pound defensive back, or you look at the speed they got at wide receiver, you look at the athleticism they brought in at tight end so they can be versatile at that position. They even brought an offensive tackle for depth. And that's what the key is, Zach, is when we were watching the Bears at the end of last season, we were seeing players on the field that may really not have gotten an opportunity to play, but they were so injured and that factored in so the depth of so many of the positions for the Bears. You saw players out there that really weren't giving you a competitive opportunity to win games in the NFL. And I do think you brought in a lot of players that they bring in this competitive depth that whether they're starters or they're increasing the depth of the position, if they get a chance to play, if they earn their opportunity to play, you're still talking about being able to go out there and compete and win games. And that's what it's all about. So I do like, the free agents that they brought in to create the competitiveness of the positions on this roster and ultimately try to put yourself in a position to win games up and down the season from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. Because, like I said, at the end of the season, I really don't think it was a very competitive scenario.
Obviously, and you look at this draft, that's where the difference makers are going to come from. If you're going to build a team that has impact players, those impact players very rarely come from free agency. They come from the draft. You have to correctly identify those guys. We had a bunch of pro days this week, and Jim, I want to pick your brain because I know that you talk to people around the league, and I guess let's take a look at who was sent where. The Bears sent the entire contingent, all the big names in terms of football ops were at Clemson's pro day last week when Deshaun Watson was doing his thing. They sent a couple of scouts to go watch Deshaun Kizer at Notre Dame's pro day. They sent the secondary coach, Ed Donatell, to Ohio State's pro day. They sent the defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, out to Stanford during the Cardinal pro day earlier this week. What do you make of who's being sent where? Should we read into it? And what do you make of the players that the Bears are looking at?
Yeah, I think they're looking at all the top guys to see and compare apples to apples. I think they've got a good idea who these guys are. But normally at the, I mean, let's be honest, at the pro days for quarterbacks, when are those quarterbacks ever going to be lining up with no pass rush coming at them? I mean, realistically. I mean, you know, those quarterbacks should be completing 100%. Certainly Watson had a good day. According to reports, I didn't get to see Kaiser's, but he displayed his big arm at Notre Dame, and his footwork was much better and all that type of stuff. But impactful players in terms of turnovers, like you mentioned, Ohio State has a ton of players there now. I mean, they've got legitimately some high draft picks that could go off the board pretty quickly when you look at Malik Hooker, Marshawn Lattimore. You factor in Gary and Conley, the other corner at Ohio State, because he's a four-year player. That mm-hmm. guy is climbing up the boards unbelievably fast for what he's done. And then we've talked about Adams and all the needs the Bears are looking at. And you want to see fluidity. Obviously, you get a second opportunity to maybe talk to the players, get them in a back room, get some more answers for the things you're looking for. I would think out at the Stanford Pro Day, I think that's a little bit too high for Christian McCaffrey, but he had a great day as a running back. You would think that they were checking out Solomon Thomas, the defensive lineman there, even though the Bears have added some this offseason. But you definitely want to, you know, check everything out. You know, you got to do your due diligence on these players, because when it comes your time to select, and let's say the four guys that maybe you've projected aren't there anymore, and you say, hey, we saw this guy at his pro day, we like him, this is a good fit right here, and let's take him. He kind of answered some questions. We feel a lot better about him. So I think all those things factor in with how a team approaches it.
We've got to take another commercial break. When we come back, you know, Jim, you kind of jogged my memory here. I want to know what happens for a quarterback when you have the private workout with the team, because the report this week that the Bears are going to bring in DeShone Kizer, and I'm sure they'll meet with all the other big quarterbacks as well. What happens when you have that meeting at the team's facility? You've been through that. We'll find out next. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Join us 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. This week on an encore edition of Inside the Bears, an exclusive look at the Bears coaching staff during their week at the Senior Bowl. Go behind the scenes at the Pro Bowl with Jordan Howard and Josh Sitton. Plus, Akeem Hicks bravely accepts the phone challenge. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. All right, Jim, as a quarterback, when you get invited into the facility, what are they trying to find out? Can you give us an example of what changes in those meetings compared to, say, what right. happens to these QBs at a pro day?
Well, sure. Well, first, let me just start at the pro days, because what do we know? Like, Cleveland didn't even go to, you know, Hugh Jackson didn't go to Trubisky. There wasn't one NFL coach at Mitchell Trubisky's pro day, and here's the reason why. And the same can be said for DeShone Watson, right? Because Cleveland already said, no, we're going to work him out on our own. Because, like I said, normally the player's agent and representation, you can script a pro day any way you want, okay? But the team is going to get the answers to their questions. So the team is going to work that player out individually, right? So they'll take, you know, a guy like DeShone Watson, all right, hey, you're under our guidance now. This is our workout, and we need to see you do this. We need to see an 18-yard comeback driving it. We need to see a speed cut 18 to 20 yards in cut down the field. Then they'll ask them to do certain things on their drop or protections when you're in the back room. Say, hey, we saw on this tape right here, the middle linebacker, you knew you had your running back staying in the block, but you weren't hot in this situation. Why? You know, and break down the protection right here. But the teams will specifically put the player, the quarterback, through their own pro day, because they need to get the answers to their questions about all the things that you can physically do. So, to me, it says it all. When not one head coach was at Mitchell Trubisky's pro day, because there were other pro days going on, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll just work them out on our own. We'll get the answers we need.
But do you have a defense? When the guy takes the field at your facility, are you mimicking the way a defense would react? How do you make it more rigorous than, no, say,
I mean, they're not gonna do anything defensive wise. Like that's gonna be more in the room, like in the quarterback room, where you get them up on the where you get the quarterback up on the board, or you're watching tape and you're able to ask the quarterback the questions that you're looking for the answers to. You'll throw out a play, maybe five or coach will throw out a play, how to break it down, diagnose it for the player, erase it on the board. Maybe you'll start watching tape again. Oh, you want to remember that play I just went over? Could you get up there and draw that and spit it out the way I asked you to in the play that we just covered? Can you do that? Because you're testing the quarterback's recall or something like that. And that happens all the time. But in terms of the physical workout, it's just going to be routes on air. I'll never forget this because June Jones, at that point, he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. He came. They just would pop in at Michigan State because I stayed at Michigan State to train. And it was like Ken Anderson. I worked out for Paul Hackett, the Steelers. But June Jones came in there personally to work me out. And I didn't know. I'd get a call from George Pearl to say, hey, come to the facility. Atlanta's here to work you out. And I had nobody to throw to. So luckily there's this, a young true freshman by the name of Nigea Carter. He was from Florida. And over the summers, his job on golf courses were to entice the alligators to get them off the course. So he had really good, you know, imagine an alligator chasing you. He had really good quick twitch muscles. He could get in and out of breaks because the idea is get the alligator running straight. Alligators have great straight line speed, but they can't cut. So he'd get the alligator off the course, and then he'd cut, and the alligator would go tumbling, and that was his job. So I go, hey, Nigea, June Jones is here. Can you come work out? Can you help me with this workout? So June's like, all right, we went through the route tree. And I'm not kidding. I'd never thrown to Nigea before. And I'm like, damn, I'm late on every throw because he was so quick out of his breaks. And I'm like, dang, Nigea, where'd you get that? So he explained that story to me about the alligators. And June Jones the whole time's like, quicker, anticipated. And I'm like, coach, this guy's cat quick. And then June even came up to me after the workout. And he said, who is that kid? I go, that's Nigea Carter. And I go, they clocked him at he was like at 4.2 at Michigan State. That's what he ran. He was just real quick. But Atlanta called me in the third round. They called me in the fourth round. They ended up taking Perry Klein in the fourth round. And then I went sixth round to the Steelers. So, you know, stuff like that. But June, he wanted specific routes. He wanted to see me throw. He went over specific plays in the offense. Because, right, they were running that, you know, as Mouse Davis's wide open offense, right? We never ran shotgun at Michigan State. So he wanted to see, how does Jim Miller play from shotgun? I have not seen you play one snap from shotgun. So most of that workout was shotgun, my footwork, and then asking me questions about spread offenses and those type of things and my exposure. So it can get pretty deep, but that was much different than my pro day, right, where I just have a script and I go out there, run what I want, what I think that they may want to see. But June Jones had a specific plan for me. They did call me. They ended up not taking me, but he knew what he wanted to see from me specifically in that his personal workout.
Now, Tom, you do such a good job on those film reviews on ChicagoBears.com and throughout the season when we watch you on TV. Now that you've had a year to kind of digest what Dowell Loggins does offensively, what is he looking for in a quarterback? What does a successful quarterback running Dowell Loggins' offense need to have?
I think it's capitalizing on a solid running game and make sure that by the use of Jordan Howard and the effectiveness of the running game, the way that you can create deception at the line and that bring that into the play-action passing game and then be more threatening with your downfield opportunities. So I think it's not just based on what the quarterback is going to do for you, is what is the quarterback going to do for the entirety of the offense. So when you look at some of the free agents they brought in and the speed they have and the ability to get on top of the safety, to track the ball in long distance throws, to bring a tight end who is a outside playmaker like a Zach Miller type where he can line up from an online tight end to the slot to even in a wide receiver position. You know, Zach, it's kind of weird because I keep referring to the Jordan Howard and Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey and the running game because it's you know, kind of a 1-2 counter. It's quarterback running game and then include the rest of the wide receivers, but it is about what you do at the line of scrimmage to create an opening in the passing game.
Now, Jim, you start talking about these young quarterbacks, almost all of them are from spread offenses, meaning you're in the shotgun, you're not under center. That's an adjustment. So How do you test to see if a guy can adapt to what you need to do what Tom just talked about?
Well, first, I mean, there's just less plays. I mean, a lot of these quarterbacks, they'll still, you know, granted, Trubisky, I think, only ran two snaps from underneath center. I don't think Mahomes has done any. And it's limited for Kaiser as well. So I always go back to Kevin Cobb when he was drafted out of Houston by Philadelphia. They made sure that he worked from underneath the center every drill that he did his first 2 years in the National Football League. And the Bears will have to do that. But they're going to be able to know football IQ. Did they really kill plays in college? Because you can throw out there and say, hey, give me an example of a check with me play right now. And the player better be prepared to answer and have the answers to the question the Bears are looking for. And let's be honest, we know they're not ready. These guys are going to have to be developed. They're not going to play right away, much like Jeff Fisher was trying to do with Jared Goff last year. If Jeff Fisher was still the coach of the Rams and didn't get fired, I don't think Goff would have even seen the field last year, my personal opinion.
Which might explain why the Bears went out of their way to bring in two veterans this offseason via free agency.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're going to ignore the quarterback position in the draft. It just means that you need to give that guy time so you don't screw up his development by rushing him out there the way the Texans did with David Carr. And who knows what kind of psychological impact last season had on Jared Goff as the quarterback of the Rams. When we come back, what do you guys look for from a defensive standpoint when you bring these guys into the facility? Because there are a lot of what's considered to be solid defensive players available at the top of this draft. We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Schedule Prediction Challenge brought to you by United is back. Guess the Bears 2017 regular season schedule correctly for a chance to win two tickets to every game of the season, including round trip United Airlines flights, hotel accommodations, and spending cash for each away game. Visit ChicagoBears.com/prediction for official rules and to enter. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You just missed an extensive breakdown of what it's like for a quarterback to go behind the scenes at a team's facility and what the Bears are looking specifically for out of that position when they're looking at the youngsters that could be drafted and how they fit into Dow Loggins' Bears offense. Let's flip it around, Tom, and look at the defense because, you know, up high where the Bears pick right now in the first round, third overall, there are many defensive players that are being linked to the Bears if you look at all these mock drafts, and everyone looks at a mock draft. So some people have Stanford's Solomon Thomas, the defensive lineman, going to the Bears at three. Others have the LSU safety, Jamal Adams. They're the Ohio State defensive backs, the cornerback, Marshawn Lattimore. There's the safety from Ohio State, Malik Hooker. When you bring in these defensive players into the facility, what are you looking to test for? What do you need to see that you can't see on tape that if you're Vic Fangio and John Fox and Ryan Pace, you're looking to see when you bring these guys to your facility?
You know, if you test them physically, it's all about reaction. And depending upon what position they play, how do they react to the effort of the offensive player against them? How does a defensive lineman react to the snap of the ball? How does he explode off the ball? What is his first reaction against the offensive lineman? And then what is his second and third reaction once the offensive lineman goes through his blocking structure, whether it's a pass block or a run block? You go to the linebacker position. How do they react to the initial influence of the offense they're facing? You have to tell them what the down and distance is, where they are on the field, the personnel groupings, because there's so much pre-snap thought that goes into a defensive player's assignment. They have to know all those. And then a defensive back, you have to look at their ability to react, the way they swivel their hips if a wide receiver comes off and looks like he's going to run a double move or try to block you, then burst upfield into the continuation of his pass route. There are so many physical traits that you have to evaluate on a defensive player at so many different levels, so many different offensive personnel groupings, position on the field, down and distance, time on the clock, depending upon when it's late in the first half, late in the game, early in the game. All those physical traits are really going to give you the opportunity to determine if the player even has the physical traits to continue your evaluation. Yeah, you can go into the meeting room and you can go on the grease board and give them their assignments and tell them what are they thinking against a specific position. Are you in a three technique? Are you in a five technique? Are you playing against a tight end? Are you playing against an offensive tackle? But again, it's about the evaluation of the physical traits. And you can see them at the combine, and then you can see them again at the pro day. And then when you get them a chance to bring into your own facility, it's almost like reconfirming what I saw at the combine. Can I get a better look at him because I wasn't really very impressed at the combine or pro day? So it is about, you know, you bring a guy like Vic Fangio who knows the entirety of his defense. He knows the requirement of every single position down to the way they come out of their stance and the way they react to the initial movement of the offense. And there's a lot of information that these guys can filter through when they're looking at the specific position, from a cornerback to a safety, from an interior defensive lineman to a defensive end, from an outside linebacker to an inside linebacker.
You know, I keep hearing that safeties aren't difference makers, that they're not the special type of player that you would take with a top five pick. And then, you know, I just look at Jim's career. And specifically when you were in Pittsburgh, then you come to the Bears, you know, Mike Brown's there, you look at the terrific safeties that they had with the Steelers when you were there, and it continued even after you left. Troy Polamalu comes to mind, you know, Ronnie Lott with the 49ers when Tom played. Safeties can change the game if you correctly identify them. And then I look at Aaron Rodgers, and he's given the Bears secondary fits throughout his career because he's been able to manipulate the guys back there. How much emphasis do you place on that position based on the guys who could go at number three?
I think its safeties are bigger now in the NFL with guys like Christian McCaffrey, running backs that are now flexing out, playing slot receiver positions. I think when you look at tight ends that are flexing out and their impact. So I just think it's much different now and how they're looked at. You know, Cam Chancellor out there in Seattle, if there's a flex tight end, he's always up there in big nickel. Playing the bigger tight ends. Or, you know, even look at how the teams have drafted over the past couple years. I brought up Sewell Cravens. He's a linebacker slash safety drafted by Washington. Shaq Thompson by Carolina. Linebacker slash safety drafted by them. So you can stay in your, you know, basically your base defense with those guys out there who are hybrid players. So I think they're, you know, it is a bigger part of the game, and it's all about mismatches and things like that. So it's critical. I do think, you know, I go back to Eric Berry. He was the last safety drafted in the top five. Guys could have been franchise tagged twice the past couple of years. I mean, look at how they beat Atlanta this year. He gets a pick six and then intercepts a two-point conversion for 2 points and takes it the length of the field. That's a pretty special safety who got drafted top five by the Kansas City Chiefs.
How do you test for the instincts, though? Because I think that's the toughest part.
Well, I think, I mean, let's just say like a guy like Malik Hooker, you know, the safety out of Ohio State, right? He's essentially a one-year starter, okay? So I would think like if Vic Fangio were to work that kid out or just take him in a board, hey, who is the quarterback of the defense? Did you make all the calls? You know, how come, you know, when they're watching the tape, you know, the knock on Malik Hooker, he's not a surefire tackler in the open field. Well, he's got all these athletic gifts, but he's whiffing on all these tackles. What's the deal here? Do you not want to stick your nose in there? Is there a problem with this? You know, you got to ask those questions of the players. How'd you miss this tackle? Make him answer it to you. I think he's all kinds of crazy athletic, but he's a one-year safety at Ohio State. But he's got great gifts and great upside. I think we all understand that. And he can cover a lot of ground. Now, if you're going to ask him to do that, that's one thing. But he's a safety for a reason. You're the last line of defense. And if there needs to be an open field tackle, we expect you to make it. And the Bears will expect him to make it. And Vic Fangio is going to emphasize that. So those are the kind of things you got to get to the bottom of.
So, Tom, I saw Aaron Rodgers say this week, and it's not good news when you hear Aaron Rodgers talking confidently out in Green Bay, but he did it this week where he said, quote, we're going to be tough to stop. So when you look at what you need to do, because if you expect to win the division, you expect to make the playoffs, you have to go through Green Bay and find a way to neutralize what that offense can do. What's the best way to go about building your defense to slow down the Packers?
I mean, obviously you have to have quality defensive backs, but if you go back in Super Bowl history and you look when the New England Patriots are undefeated going to the Super Bowl, why did they beat Tom Brady that year? It's because they were able to put pressure on him with four players up front to keep him in a retreat position, get hits on him, don't allow him the time to make the decisions, to the effective decisions that are able to control the offense. So, you know, every team needs great defensive backs nowadays in the NFL because the percentage of throwing is so astronomical. But if you're going to go and you're going to challenge for a divisional championship and, you know, try to put your sights on the Super Bowl, you better be able to put pressure on the opponent's quarterback with four guys. And then you think about the amount of guys that you can keep and fill up the coverage lanes. That's one way to go about it. And when you, like I said, when you look at history against the, you know, the great Tom Brady New England Patriots team, it's because of Michael Strahan and the crew were able to get pressure with four guys.
The other thing I see, Jim, and you can expand on this as a former quarterback, the ball comes out so fast with these QBs.
Right.
It's tough to get to the QB.
It is tough, but I think, Tom was talking about that. If you've got the corners that can disrupt the timing of the route. Like, you know, here he brought up the Patriots having a hard time against Denver. You know, think about in that AFC Championship game with Aqib Talib and then Chris Harris, and then you had Bradley Roby, who was a first-round draft pick out of Ohio State. They pretty much didn't let those receivers off the line of scrimmage. Now Tom's indecisive. He's holding on to the ball a little bit longer. And then you got Von Miller wreaking havoc. He can get to the quarterback pretty quick when you disrupt that type of timing with your wide receivers.
And you know what? We'll hit on this in our next segment, but you start to take a look at the defensive backs that could be available, and there's a boatload, and a number of them could move into the second round. There's an opportunity here to get a couple of game-changing defensive backs, if you correctly identify the guys, to really change the whole complexion of the Bears defense. We'll discuss next. We'll give you some names with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content, direct to your device. Alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin with you here. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. You can join us at 312-644-6767. You know, I go back and I look at the success that Vic Fangio's San Francisco 49ers defense has had in the playoffs against Aaron Rodgers a few years back. And it started with a big push up front. You know, they had a terrific linebacking core. They were able to generate pressure with that big front line that they had. But they had very physical defensive backs that were able to reroute receivers and disrupt timing. And I think sometimes we forget just how important a part that plays in taking away the strengths of an offense, especially the one in Green Bay. And Jim, when you look at this draft, you know, one of the major strengths is in the secondary.
It's been affected recently because, granted, there's still a lot of variety and a lot of talented players that are driving up the boards. But what have we seen? Fabian Moreau, the cornerback out of UCLA, he just had a pec surgery. Sidney Jones, talented corner out of Washington, you know, he tears an Achilles tendon. You know, it's going to be interesting if teams will look at those players who were considered first-round draft picks. Will they take them? Will a team take a shot on them in the second round? Or will they move on? I mean, here we saw Jaylon Smith, a talented linebacker out of Notre Dame. He still went second round to the Dallas Cowboys a year ago. I think these players now will drop a little bit. Other risers that are out there, go see the two corners out at Colorado, Weatherspoon and Owusu. Both of those guys are over 6 foot. They play man the whole game. Man coverage the whole game, those cornerbacks do. And those guys are driving up the draft boards. I talked about Conley from Ohio State that I think is helping himself as well. But there is a lot of a variety. It is a very deep draft class. So just because if you're, you know, even in the second round, if the Bears are selecting soon and you think that they're going to miss out on a corner with an early pick in the second round, just wait. There'll be still a good corner sitting there in the third or fourth round. Maybe they drop due to injury. Maybe the Bears take a chance. But, you know, we forget quarterbacks are going to drive up some players. I think we'll drive some players into the second round. Some talented defensive players that you're getting first round talent, even though it's in the second and third round. So all those, you can't just take all defensive players. There will be offensive players taken that other players, it'll force defensive players to drop a little bit in the draft.
Yeah, it's a strong running back draft. It's a strong draft at receiver as well as tight end. The reason that we always talk about the quarterbacks, it's the most important position on the field. But that being said, and the big three are linked together, and everyone has a different order and where they're going, whether it's Kaiser, Watson, or Trubisky. Do you think, and Tom, you've watched these guys work out at the combine, you've seen some of their pro days in terms of the video, and obviously the games that they've played. Tom, Jim, do you guys think that any of the big three quarterbacks, that one of them slides into the second round to where the Bears may pick with that fourth overall pick in round two?
You know, Jim, I think it depends on the system. I think if you come around and your system doesn't fit a quarterback that's even available at that time, there's no reason to take him because you're not going to change the system for a quarterback that you may think has some questionable traits he has to overcome. Now, if you come up to the second round or, you know, you have a perfect match and you think this is a guy that can come into your football team, doesn't need to be an immediate contributor, but has the opportunity to sit around a couple of veteran quarterbacks, maybe that is the perfect fit, and maybe that's the scenario that your team is looking for. So you don't have to give an overvalue pick on him in too early. But I think, you know, Zach and Jim, it's about making sure that you have the right quarterback for you, the right system.
I think it's all four quarterbacks, the top four, including Mahomes. I'm convinced they all go in the first round because teams know that they can't play him right away and they want the fifth-year option. You know, I know Gil Brandt, who he's been a part of every draft since basically its inception and the combine, and I think everybody knows how affiliated he said at Kaiser's workout, his pro day, he's convinced he's going first round. And those guys are all getting invitations to the draft. So that tells you, and Gil's the one who invites all these guys. So to me, they're all going in the first round.
Do you think they're going in the top 10?
Potentially. I think one's got a chance to go in the top 10. One will go in the mid-teens. And then I think teams early in the second round trade late into the first round to pick up the other two, Kaiser and Mahomes. I've heard Mahomes is gaining steam now. That kid he's got some serious arm talent. Granted, the mechanics aren't there in terms of his footwork. But when you hear things like Brett Favre type of ability, that's how people are ranking his arm. I'm convinced he's going first round. He will be, to me, the last guy that sneaks in there, and a team will trade up into the first to get him because they know he's going to sit maybe 1, even 2 years before he's ready to get on the field is really the thought process. And right now, I mean, think about that. So so what? You're trading up into the bottom of the first. It's not even a big, you know, it's not even a big salary for a quarterback.
The reason, so if you look at a team like the Bears, for example, they clearly need a young quarterback going forward, but they also have so many other needs across the board. Can you afford to give up extra picks to get back into the first round?
Here's what I'd say. You already know they got two or really three veterans. If you consider Connor Shaw's playing experience, he's been in the NFL. He's familiar with the system, but with the veteran quarterbacks that they have, Glennon's deal is only a one-year deal. Maybe it's next year as they tap into the draft. I do think there's some diamonds in the rough later in the draft, and we've talked about Peterman from Pitt. The Cal quarterback's interesting. He's got a big arm.
Davis Webb.
Yeah, Davis Webb. There's other guys that are developmental, or do you just say shelve it and we'll dive into next year's draft? Because we've got the coverage for this year.
Tom, you've watched all of these quarterbacks that the Bears have had this millennium, and we often hear big hands, big arm, because you need that when you play at Soldier Field. But having watched some of the guys who have been successful, some of the guys who have failed, what do you think's the most important aspect that you need to have at that position?
Intelligence. You know, I think when you're a confident quarterback and you understand the whereabouts of every one of your receivers, every pass you call, you understand what the defense is going to do against you every time you look across the field, when you have no panic in you. Well, even when you look at some of the highlights of Mike Glennon, when he goes and he makes adjustments against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, or some of the adjustments he makes on his home field, that's the key, Zach, because you know, physical ability, there's a lot of guys that can go out and win pass, punt, and kick. But can you go out there and understand exactly what you're saying in the huddle, bring it to the line of scrimmage, watch that clock tick away, and making sure that you are on the exact same page as the other 10 guys that are waiting to come, you know, waiting for your cadence. So I know all these measurables that, you know, scouts talk about, whether it's arm length for an offensive lineman or speed for a receiver, but I think for a quarterback, it's about brain power. And, you know, when you think about the evaluation of Tom Brady and his slow 40 time and where he was picked because of the what he showed him at the combine, it's hard to measure your brain power, and that's why he's become probably the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL.
The Bears are hoping that they can put a draft together this year that was as good as they had in 1965 when they drafted both Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers in the first round. And I bring that up because recently the revelation that Gale Sayers, one of the best players in the history of the Bears franchise, is battling dementia. Tom, you grew up a Bears fan. You watched this guy play when he was a spectacular player, and then he ended his career early. You know what he meant to that franchise. Can you put into words just how impressive of a player Gale Sayers was?
Oh, I mean, you know, you go back and you talk about generations, talk about the greatest game in Chicago Bears history, and you talk about Gale Sayers. You look at the field conditions he played in. Why is he a Hall of Famer for the shortest tenured career of any player? You know, it's because of his greatness on the football field and the opportunities I've had to meet him. He's just as great as a person through the times that I've got to meet him through my times with the Bears.
And we wish him the best of luck as he fights this battle. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman, saying have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. Quinton Demps will be our guest next Wednesday. Bears All Access, 6 o'clock, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.